Greetings, everyone. I would like to start off by saying thank you for allowing us into your lives every week. Welcome to the Family Healing Breaking Cycles Podcast, your one-stop shop to life, love, and family. Every week, we will touch on real-life topics from a family's perspective, of course. I am a family healing motivational coach, a mother of four, two kings, and two queens. I'm also a sister mom of two kings and a grandmother of three and an auntie of two as well. As you will see, the more time we spend together, we have a unique family dynamic. The topics that we discuss are things that have made impacts on our family. And as we share our experiences, we hope to help other families break cycles as well. Let's get started. Welcome back, family. I'm Tamika. I'm your host. I'm here with my co-host, and I'll let him introduce himself.
Welcome back, family. I'm the oldest child right now, but you can call me Nell.
Family, I want to start off by giving some contact information. Our Instagram is FHBCP_. Our Facebook is just our name, Family Healing Breaking Cycles Podcast. And our email is familyhealingbreakingcycles78@yahoo.com. And I've also been, everyone who's our family out there that listens to us, you know, we promote healing and, you know, healthy ways of living and things like that by being very transparent in who we are. So in order to extend the brand, I do have some prompted guided journals that are on Amazon that are, they're just journals to, they're called journey journals, meaning, one is my healing journal, one is my forgiveness journal, and, my peace journal. So they're just journals to beginner's journals, because some people are intimidated by journaling because they feel like it takes all this commitment. They don't have that kind of time and things like that. So it's just like a beginner's journal to get you started on journaling, just at least get you to a place where it becomes interesting and it starts to become a habit. And it's a place to also, you know, write down your thoughts and, you know, help you through a healing process or a process where you might have to forgive yourself or forgive others and how to do that. And when you're just looking for peace. So, all you have to do is look up my healing journal, my peace journal or my forgiveness journal by Tamika Plummer CLC, and it should pop up on Amazon. And thank you guys for your support. And with all that being said, I would like to jump into our episode. So today's topic is, are men being unrealistic with their standards? Now, I know we did women, or, you know, I think we did our professional women. Are they unrealistic with their standards? But we're going to do men. Because, I mean, we have, you know, most of our topics are, they don't gear towards male or female. It's a family thing or a healing thing or something like that. But we do have a few that gear towards women and men, but I think it's more women. So we're going to give the men a play today. So, you know, this could be interchangeable. It doesn't have to be a situation where I'm just, you know, so you can jump in when you want or comment when you want. So now, why I'm able to, why am I able to feel, that's the word that just come to my mind right now, this subject, because I was this woman. I was this woman years ago. So it's one of the reasons why, you know, the topic is what it is. And it's another reason why, you know, I can relate to it, you know. So when, you know, are a man's standards actually controlling? So it's a very thin line, because depending on where a woman is, and not just a woman, but that's just what I'm going to say for now. We'll get into the meat of it in a minute. Depending on where a woman is in life, in her healing, if she's going through any healing, et cetera, she could look at a man's standards as being controlling. And in some cases, maybe the man is being controlling, but I want to steer away from that. I want that to be a 1 minute thing. I said it, boom. I want the subject to be about a man's standards. Are they actually controlling? But depending on the woman and what lens she's looking at it through and from, she's going to view it that way, because I was that person. I was that person. Just because a man has an opinion or a preference or a way that he feels his woman should present herself doesn't mean that he's controlling. And I had to learn that too. I'm telling you, this was me. I had to learn, just because he has a preference or an opinion about a way that his woman presents herself in the public or just even with him, doesn't mean that he's controlling. It means that he cares about his woman.
Just was actually like talking about something like this not too long ago. It was more of the, like you said, like, you know, the way, you know, if your lady, if you got something to say about how she dresses, because you would prefer, you know, it was right. A debate.
Right. What was the debate?
If I said, I don't think you should, you going out, you know, wearing that, you know, too revealing, whatever the case may be.
Right.
The debate is, I can wear what I want, but I might take your, what you said in consideration, because you're my man or what, a husband, whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it, I may, you know, be like, okay, I'll go change, but I can wear what I want.
Wait. So that's the pride.
I think then now that's still the process of some women thinking I'm trying to control you.
Right.
Because I'm saying, you know, you shouldn't wear that.
Right. So, because I've been there. So, I only can speak from, you know, my perspective, which my perspective is probably most women's perspective who don't understand the concept that a man is just a natural, with like a natural provider, if that's what you want to say. So naturally, he's going, a natural protector and provider. So naturally, he's going to protect if he cares. Now, if he doesn't care, he's not going to say nothing. But if he cares about you and your well-being, he's going to have an opinion and a preference on how you present yourself in his presence and out of his presence. Men are wired to be protectors. That's just what it is. Now, you do have some men who are unhealthy and are wired differently. So this can turn into, you know, controlling or like an abusive nature or things like that. So don't get me wrong when I say it, because you do have some men that are on that controlling aspect. And I think we talked about it plenty episodes before when we talked about if a man wants you to, and this is what you said, like most of the time, if a man is providing for you and you're like the stay-at-home wife or you're just a girlfriend that doesn't have to work and he provides everything, that it's because he wants to control you because you have to go to him for everything. You said for the most part.
Yeah, that's still, I'm still standing on that.
Right. Okay, so in certain situations like that or other situations, it can be abusive, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is just the average level of a man having an opinion and a standard and a preference on how his woman presents herself physically, you know, mentally, in his presence or out of his presence doesn't mean that he's controlling and I was this person. But it'll bring me to the point where I say, if you can't go into a relationship, a relationship or life or whatever the case is, with the same mindset like if you were already in a control and abusive relationship, you have to heal that part before you get into another relationship, because you want to find a man that is just a protector who has a preference and a standard of who his woman is. And you're going to view that as being controlling and you're going to rebel it the whole time. And you're going to say stuff like what you just said. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll take what you said into consideration, but I can still wear what I want. In other words, saying, I'm going to listen to you because I'm with you and I want to be with you. But make no mistake, you're not going to be telling me what to do. It's no reason to have that mindset or that outlook on the situation unless you've been through something. In another situation where maybe it was some unhealthy toxicity there to where the person was controlling. I can't really see a woman just being that independent to let you know you're not going to be telling her what to do or what to wear. But at the same time, I'll take your opinion in consideration. What kind of woman would that be?
When I see stuff, it's mainly the independent women.
Really?
They have that mindset.
Okay.
Because they came from getting their own. So now let's just say they've been, you know, single for a while and they doing their thing. I'm independent. I don't need nobody for nothing. Then you do get in a relationship. So you went from didn't need nobody for nothing. I ain't got to ask nobody for nothing. I do what I want, whatever the case is. Then you get in a relationship with a man that's a natural provider, wants you to respect yourself, him, whatever the case may be. And then he's like, I don't think you should wear that out there. That's, you know, and me, of course, being me, I'm not trying to control you. It's just that it's to protect you from the people out here, because some men think if you wear a certain thing, you already gave them a go ahead to do whatever.
So you really think it's only the independent women?
That's where I see it the most. I'm not saying that's
right. But you think it's only because of independence, only because she used to getting her own, only because she's used to no one telling her what to do, no other underlying trauma, just
it's,
that.
It's possible, but it's either you're not going to get that out of them or they don't know that's what it is.
Okay, that's fair. Because I can say I was always independent, but I'm also sit here and say that was the underlining thing. Not wanting to be controlled, because I had been in situations where people tried to control me. And it was one of the reasons why, you know, before I had evolved and became the person I am today and older and more mature and I've seen life for what it is why I would never want to get married previously. Cause like, oh no, as soon as you get married, they think they own you. They think they control you. They think they can tell you what to do. Which in my situations, the times that I did get proposed to, that exactly is exactly what it was. But I still held on to that even after the fact. It took me a while to understand. And you have to be open to a man wanting to be the leader. A lot of women say that they want a man to lead. They want a man to protect and all these things. But you really have to ask yourself, are you willing to let him lead? Are you really ready to let someone lead you? That is a valid question, because I had to ask myself the question. And the answer was, I really wasn't ready. I had a lot of work to do still, to be to a point where I'm willing to let you lead, because in order for him to lead, he is going to have, once again, opinions and preferences on how you present yourself in front of him and in front of other people. You can't have a provider without a protector. That's just how it is. So the question a woman needs to ask herself, am I going to be ready to be led when I come across a man who wants to lead? So this is where that saying comes from when it says, and this goes for men and women, that you have to heal. If you were in a relationship that had trauma, or it was unhealthy or toxic or whatever, and even if not, you know, you should just heal after a breakup in general. Just have some time to yourself, figure things out, get through the point of why did this happen? Why am I not with this person? We were in love and it didn't work. Just to figure things out. You shouldn't jump from one person to another, because you're going to have some kind of baggage. All baggage doesn't have to be trauma or unhealthy. I know that's what we talk about here a lot, because let's face it, that's most of the world. But it doesn't have to be that. You could just have some baggage. Baggage could be not having closure. So you're still thinking about, well, why did that happen? Or, you know, why did they do this? Or why did we break up? We were supposed to be together. So baggage could be you not having closure, but you get into another relationship, but you still holding on to whatever went on in that relationship because that person didn't give you closure. So baggage can be anything. So you should heal at least for us, you know, I'm not going to give a time frame, but I would say at least 3 months before you jump into something else. But you have people that go through a process of years, and just maybe years and years of figuring things, especially if it was trauma and things like that. But if you break up with someone, I think you should at least sit back and reflect. Maybe you feel like you don't have any healing that needs to be done. Maybe it wasn't a bad breakup. Maybe it was just the fact that you need to sit and reflect on, why did I think that person was for me and they really wasn't? You have to have some reflection after a breakup. It didn't even have to be a traumatic breakup, a bad one, or anything like that. It's still a loss. So you always have to grieve a loss. And you have to, you know, you have to give yourself that time to grieve a loss. So that's where that saying comes from when it say you have to heal. Don't take baggage, old baggage, into a new relationship. Because at the end of the day, the question is, are you ready to be led? Women say, I want a man to lead, I want. But really ask yourself if that's what you want. Because that man is going to have standards. He's going to have preferences. You might feel like that you can wear certain clothes or whatever the case is. Form fitting, cleavage out. Because let's face it, they make a lot of the clothes like that now. It's not even the fact that maybe that's what a woman prefers. It could be. But when you think about it, they make a lot of the clothes like that. And he's going to have a preference on it. Well, no, I think that dress is too form-fitting. No, I think the neckline is too plunging. Or whatever the case is. And you might think to yourself, I've been wearing dresses like this. Depending on your age. Let's pick an age. You know, you might be 46. I don't know. For, you know, most of my life. And nobody ever had a problem with my dresses. And I love my dresses. But you ran into a man that doesn't want his woman with a plunging neckline where her cleavage is actually showing, that's form-fitting to the point where you can see her whole form. But this man is a protector. You can't have a provider without a protector. So are you really ready to not give him the stink eye and the side eye when he tells you he doesn't like it? And willing to say, you know what? You're right. If this makes you uncomfortable, I'll find something else to wear. Are you really ready for that? Or really ready for him to say, I don't think you should be hanging with this girlfriend or that girlfriend. Without thinking to yourself, oh, now you're trying to pick my friends now. But you could have a friend that stay in a club. You could have a friend that always have different male friends or something. And your man don't know what these men are into. So just because he's telling you, no, I don't think you should go to the club, or I don't think you should do certain things, it doesn't mean he's trying to keep you trapped and you can't do anything. He might just feel like he has your best interest at heart. So are you really ready to be led? I mean, like, really ready. Now, I'm not saying this is everybody, but let's face it. Any man, and you're the man here, do you have a preference or a standard on when you care about a person and you're in a relationship with them, you love them, you want their best interests? Do you have a preference of the clothes that they wear, the places that they go, and the people that they hang around with?
I'm going to go down a line like you.
Okay.
So far as what they're wearing, of course, I have a preference, and it's not a crazy, you know, it's just, I feel like if something is too revealing, that's just me.
Okay.
I'm not, you know, the form fitting, whatever the case is.
It is what it is, right?
And that you might not can't help it. That's
right,
fine.
Right.
Saying that I'll dress too tight, I'm not going that far. If it's too revealing, I feel like you shouldn't. You wear it. That's my opinion.
So how would you feel? Let's do role play. If I said, well, what's wrong with it? What you about to, let's role play. Well, what's wrong with my dress?
I feel like it's too revealing. It's showing too much.
But what difference do it make?
Me as a man, knowing how most men think, if you're going out here dressing like that, you give them the okay to do certain things, as walk up on you, talk to you however they want.
But that's on them, though. They're going to do that if I got sweatpants on.
Maybe. You might not get a second look, though. But if you showing, you know, you got a see-through dress on and, you know, your cheeks is out, you know, and whatever the case is, they're going to feel like you not respecting yourself. So why should I respect you?
Men going to be men anyway, regardless what you have on. So I don't see what difference do it make what I have on. Men will try to holler at you when you got a bonnet and slippers on, because men is just, that's what they do. So I really don't understand your point.
A man is going to holler at you regardless, because yes, that's what men do. But it's going to be a different holler at you for what you got on. I'm going to see if I see you in a bonnet and sweatpants, whatever the case is. But you cute. So you don't, you know, you cute. So what you ain't got on, I ain't paying that no mind. Because if you cute, there's a good chance, you know what you're doing outside of this. You just run into the store. And, you know, I might, you know, I'm going to come at you respectfully. You know, if you got enough heart to come out here with a bonnet on anyway, something, you know, whatever. So I'm going to talk to you and, you know, with some sense. Versus if you got a see-through dress on with a thong on, your cheeks out, and then you got the little stickers covering your nipples, but you can see the whole boob. I'm going to come at you crazy because you came out the house like that.
They wear little stickers on the nipples?
Yeah. I mean, you can see the whole, you know, whole boob out. But
oh, yeah, but you cover the nipples. Really?
The
nipple makes the pasties?
The nipple make the boob, so I guess...
Right, it's like right.
I'm gonna talk to you differently, because if you came out the house like this, you might be a freak. You don't respect yourself. This is what some men may think.
Right.
You don't respect yourself because you came out here like that.
Or and then also that you don't have a man, because what self-respected man would allow? See, like right? Okay, so that's the point. So, if another man is going to think to himself, you can't have a man, Because if you was my woman, you're not coming outside like that. And it has nothing to do with the controlling thing. It just has something to do with no self-respecting man, if he respects himself or his woman, is going to let his woman come outside like that. But see, there go the trigger words. Allow and let.
Right.
That would have been a trigger word for me. From the gate. Allow. Who are you talking about? Let. And just to be spiteful, whatever the case is, and to be prideful and quote unquote independent, I'm either wearing it anyway or it's going to start an argument.
Right. And but the thing is, some, you know, it's the same, you know, if the shoe is on the other foot, you know, men, you know, but you know, it's always a big thing. Let's just say men wear sweatpants and you know, the whole thing. I like to, you know, because I don't like getting dressed all the time, so I like to be comfortable. But my compromise would be, okay, I like sweatpants, but I understand why you don't want me to wear sweatpants.
So especially the gray ones.
What I would do is wear compression pants under the sweatpants. Mm. And make control of it. That's my compromise. I like sweatpants. I like to be comfortable. But I understand why you don't want me to wear sweatpants. But this is what I can do. It will control a little
bit. Oh, okay.
It just compromises.
Keeps everything in place.
You know? So, that's a compromise. Not saying, you know, if I say, oh, well.
What do they call compression pants?
Yeah, because it's a better lack of term is, you know, tights for men in a sense.
Oh, okay.
Because it keeps everything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's something like you would wear it to the gym or something like that.
Right, exactly.
So, okay.
So, that's a compromise. All right, I'll just put some, you know, if I got sweatpants on, I'll put the compression pants on.
Oh, okay. It is about right. It's nothing wrong with compromise, but if you're dealing with someone that has been, and I'm telling you, I was that person that has been through things, or like you said, independent, whatever, they wouldn't even be willing to compromise. Because it's just like the trigger words is all you heard, and you stick it, you know, you stick it to what you know, you holding on to your trauma and all that kind of stuff. And what it all boils down to is you trying to tell me what to do, and you trying to tell me what to wear and how to wear it, and who my friends should be and all that kind of stuff. And any woman that's in that headspace is never going to be in a situation where she's going to be ready to be led if she does not start a healing process to release some of that. It's always going to be a fight between her and whoever she's with. So, like I said, I had to ask the question myself, am I really ready to be led? That was it. I'm not. I have to be comfortable with you saying something like that to me and being like, you know what, you're right. I might like, and then at the same time, comfortable to the point where I know what revealing clothing is. I know if this shirt is going to have my boobs out. So why would I even try it? If I'm ready to be led and if I'm ready to be in a relationship and you know, be respectful and all that. I know what this... I'm no fool. So why would I even try it? So I would have to be in a space, one, and be like, I'm in a relationship now. This might not be the most respectful thing to wear or the most respectful place to go. Or I know Cindy. She always trying to turn up. And she got a bunch of male friends. And every time we go out, even if we go into the Waffle House, she got to invite her friends, but they all be guys. So I'm no fool. So I have to be in a place also mentally to be like, make my own decision before my significant other has the chance to make the decision for me. Why didn't I already know that these things were wrong? It should, you know, and I understand things slip through the cracks and you might feel like, oh, well, my bad. You know, you're right. You can... these tight, maybe I should wear a long sweater over these tights, because I just like tights. Mm-hmm. Because they're comfortable and I can run errands in them, and they, you know, I can dress them up or dress them down. So maybe I just wear a long sweater and not wear this crop top with it. So we already know what the standard should be and how it should go. We just refuse to because we're in a different, we in a different mindset of, you know, of trauma from something previous that we were probably in. And it might not even, it could have been something we saw in another relationship, maybe in our mother's relationship or something like that. But there's something that's triggering, and it's not just independence to a woman when a man has his preference on how you present yourself in front of him in the world. And it's no different from when women say to a man, you know, I don't want you hanging out with this guy. Why he always got to come over? Why you always going to the gym with him? He ain't nothing but a cheater. Why you keep on hanging around guys that don't have girlfriends? You know, birds of a feather flock together. Or why you, you know, wearing that or doing this or do that? Women have been doing that since the beginning of time. So what's the difference when a man does it? The difference is that woman has been through something. Because we do it all the time. All the time. Telling our man or whatever, significant other, husband, whatever, who he could be friends with, where he could go, how long he could be out, have a problem with everything. Now, that could also be from, you know, the whole, you know, cheating and men are dolls and all that kind of stuff. So you're trying to check him and his life and all that. But that comes from somewhere too. Because at the end of the day, if you feel like you have to control a man in that aspect, then you really shouldn't be with him. Because you can't sit and control everywhere he go and whoever he sees and who he goes out with. You just can't. You have to trust him to a point. So it means you have some unresolved issues with trust. So I was that person that was just like, I probably, I'm not going to say ruined because if a person's not in your life for whatever reason, you know, God took them out of your life, they out and you just leave them out and, you know, whatever that is. But I was that person that a lot of things, you know, and a lot of, not that I've been in a lot, but most of my relationships, that was an issue because I'm looking at the way you feel about how I present myself as controlling. Now, like I said, in a couple of them, that's exactly what it was. I'm not taking responsibility for that. I'm not taking that toe tag because I know exactly what it was. But I can look and say, in a couple, it wasn't. I just hadn't healed from the ones that were. So, yeah, I'm definitely that person. And stop taking the pain, you know, stop taking the pain from an actual abusive controlling relationship and labeling every man to be that. You'll never get anywhere. You'll miss your blessing. A man will come along that's a protector and a provider. Everything you've been asking for, and the minute that you put on something that he doesn't like and he gives you your opinion, his opinion on it, or the minute you say you're going out with Rashida, and you know Rashida because of her reputation in the neighborhood, and every time Rashida come over, she be looking at him funny, but he don't want to tell you because that's your friend. That's why he don't want you going out with her, because she might try to persuade you to do something you don't have no business doing. Every time he does something for your well-being, you're going to think he's trying to be controlling. It's about growing and evolving as a person. You cannot have a protector without a provider. Absolutely not. Can happen. And that's just, it is what it is. I stand on that.
I have a question for you. Now, when you go back to, you know, when somebody, you know, a woman acts theirself, or, you know, are they ready to be led and stuff like that? Now, in your opinion, what do you think it is if a woman would be married but doesn't inspire to be married?
Would be married, but... Oh, okay. Like, you know, okay, she would be if the right person came along, but it's not on her radar right now.
Like, you know, if you proposed to me and we got married, okay. But I don't inspire.
But if you don't, married, that's okay too.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I guess that's a better way to put it.
It depends on why she doesn't aspire to be married. if she doesn't aspire to be married because maybe she saw bad marriages or her parents are divorced or she has that issue to where she feels like as soon as you get married, you want to think that you control me. So I think it will have something to do with why she doesn't want to, but she would if you asked her. And that's fear too and rejection. I would if you asked me, but I don't, you know, I don't have to. If you don't, that's cool too. So that's just a way to double down and a way to hide and deflect on that you have rejection issues and that you're scared. And you haven't healed from some things. Because it doesn't really make... I never understood it because it's like, if I ask you, cool. But if I don't, cool too. You can't have both. Because if I just don't want to be married, if you ask me, I'm telling you no. Or we date and I'm going to say, I'm not looking forward to marriage. I'm just dating because that's what I want to do. But I don't want to be married. It's that black and white. It's just that plain. So you really trying to... You scared to... It's fear. You're scared to be rejected. You might really like this person and you want to get married. Y'all been, you know, dating for however, whatever the time is and you're ready to be married. But at the same time, you don't know if he's ready. So you're scared to be rejected. You don't want to put your all into it. But, you know, if he did ask you, you would say, yeah, because you really do feel a certain type of way about him. But if he don't, that's cool, too. No, it's just that you have a fear of rejection. There's no way that you can have both. You can fight me on it all you want, people, but no. Because I'm going to just tell you from the rip, I really don't want to be married. But if you ask me, I will. Which one is it? Because if you tell me you don't want to be married, but if you ask me, I will, you really, especially with a man, because men are very matter of fact and simple and just to the point. They're not as complicated as women. So a man is going to take that as well. If you really don't want to, but you would if I asked you, that means you really don't want to. So then why would I ask you? That's how men think. So women, you have to work on that too, because you have to watch what you say to somebody. If you can really like somebody and say something like that, now you just blew it for yourself. Because a man is not going to take that as she just cool either way. No, he's going to dig deeper to that, be like, well, okay, well, I just ain't going to ask you then.
I think like that.
Oh, dude.
I would think like that, like, okay, so if I did ask you, you want to tell me no? But do I want to take the chance?
Right.
For you to say yes or no.
Right.
Versus, you know, we had conversations about it, and this is what you want to do, you want to be married, you know, blah, blah, blah. So then it's good, all right, so if I ask, there's a high chance she's going to tell me yes.
Right.
Versus, she... want to be married, but I don't really aspire to be married. So what is that supposed to really mean? So do I really want to play myself and ask you and then possibly get a no because you don't aspire to be married?
Right. So that's what I mean when I say once you open up, you know, communication like that with a man, that's what you're going to get from him, ladies. So if you know that it's just that you really do want to be married, but you have some unresolved issues and you know, maybe some abandonment issues or trust issues or rejection or whatever the case is, you really need to work on that before you get into a relationship because you just confuse the person and he's going to think just like what he just said and you might lose out on the situation to get proposed to and to get married. Perfect.
Then it's going to be y'all together 10 years and
yes, proposed to you. Yet. And you never had the conversation about it. He confused in his head and you confused in your head. But you actually mad because y'all been together 10 years and he ain't asked you yet. But you assuming that he's supposed to know that after all this time, you probably going to say yeah. No, it's all no. That's why communication is very important. And the average person does not know how to communicate appropriately. Is very important. So remember that, ladies. Don't remember it. If you're not ready to be led, work on it. Figure it out. Because you might come across someone that wants to lead you and you say something crazy like that. Or you start acting weird and you just missed out. Ask yourself the question. So to answer that question, You know, I don't think men are unrealistic with their standards. Now, this me today, this grown person today, this healed person today can say, no, I don't think so. You just care for me and my well-being, and I'm in a space where I can receive what you're giving me. You have to be in a space to receive things, not all closed off and all that, and not receiving what a person is trying to give you. I received that. Thank you. With open arms. Okay, yeah, you have to be in a space to receive it. And be honest with yourself if you're not. Don't let sex and the fear of being alone and all these other things to why people get in relationships when they shouldn't be in them cloud your judgment. So no, I don't think men are being unrealistic when it's a healthy situation and he's just trying to be a protector and a provider. And he cares about your well-being and his too. Because you could be putting him in danger out here acting crazy and dressing crazy.
That's a fact on that. I'm going to agree with you. Like, I don't think men are, you know, unrealistic
about their standards.
If I'm agree with the healthy situation too, because I'm not going to agree with all men, because you, like you said, you got the ones
that are really for
control. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to agree with that.
Right.
But if it's healthy and I'm telling you, I'm doing this for X, Y, and Z, then that's what it is.
Right. But the woman has to be in the place to receive it. You can say it all day, but is she ready to hear you and allow you to have these standards? She has to allow it, because it's not going to be the last time that you may bring up something that you feel like she shouldn't do. So she has to be open, healed, and ready to receive what you're trying, your protection. It's not really about providing, but you can't have one without the other. But that's about protecting right there. Did you have a gym over there for us, sir?
I think I do. Intelligence plus character. That is the goal to true education. That was a quote from Dr. King himself.
Okay, MLK. You quoting MLK today. All right. Family, did you receive that? Did you receive that message? Family, we want to thank you for letting us into your lives. Listening to us, dealing with us, being there, being patient. All the people that have been supporting us all the, you know, for these past 2.5 years, we really do appreciate it. And as always, talk to you soon. Family Healing Breaking Cycles streams on your favorite app on Mondays at 12 p.m. Just add us to your favorites and you'll get alerts when new episodes stream on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and others. We would also like to thank our sponsors, KKP Vending. If you need a vending machine at your location, you could call them at 267-407-7678, and also Lounge 21 at 1639 South 21st Street, Philadelphia, PA 19145. And you can also follow them on Instagram at Lounge_21. And follow us on Facebook, Family Healing Breaking Cycles, and we would love to hear from you. Or you can also email us at familyhealingbreakingcycles78@yahoo.com. And don't forget to leave us a review in your favorite app as well.